Let's go back to the issue of chemical weapons that we discussed earlier. Does Iran know who used chemical weapons on August 21st in Syria?
We have indications, and we had shared those indications in the past with the United States and with others, that unfortunately, and this is extremely dangerous, chemical weapons were being smuggled into Syria to groups, armed groups that are fighting the Syrian people and Syrian government. This was information that we had for some time. Number of arrests were made earlier this year in neighboring countries, indicating the fact that this was actually taking place.
Did we get a response from the Americans?
Unfortunately not. No, we alerted them. We told them that this was taking place. We told them, and we still tell them, that this is a continuing nightmare. Chemical weapons in the hands of non-state actors, particularly extremist non-state actors, is a threat to everybody. It recognizes no borders. It will become a menace for the entire region, and those who help these groups have access to chemical weapons will need to address the question how they're going to deal with that. The addresses are unknown. The possibilities for the use of these chemical weapons are unknown. I'm not in the business of fear-mongering. I'm not in that business, but this is a real concern. We need to be able to address this issue and to find a way. Now, we are very happy that the Syrians are dealing with some sort of an international arrangement to deal with their chemical weapons. But it is important also at the same time to deal with the weapons that are in the hands of extremists.
Let's see if they do that. We're quickly running out of time. I'd like to talk about Iran's nuclear program. And the most recent news is the shift from the Supreme National Security Council to the Foreign Ministry. Can you elaborate on that and explain then what role you will play in that?
Well, the president decided that that the foreign ministry will conduct negotiations on the nuclear issue. I think it's a wise decision. The foreign ministry is responsible for the conduct of Iran's foreign affairs, and it has the ability and the machinery, the manpower to deal with these issues. Of course, the National Security Council will still supervise and oversee the entire nuclear file, and we hope to be able to move forward with negotiations which should be result-oriented. Now, let me give you a couple of general comments about how negotiations should proceed. We believe that negotiations are not open-ended, that negotiations are not an end in themselves. We believe that negotiations should be time-bound, result-oriented, and based on good faith, equal footing, and mutual respect. Now, we need to change the approach to these negotiations. And if I may, let me describe this a little in a bit more detail and try to articulate what I mean. I believe the international environment after the Cold War is a different international environment. In this transitional phase of world politics, because we no longer call it international politics, we call it world politics, because it has become so intertwined that you can no longer pursue zero-sum games. You cannot pursue your interest at the expense of the interest of others. You cannot try to have security at the expense of the insecurity of others. If that was achievable, 9/11 would not have happened. I think today is 9/11, and it should be a reminder for all of us that if security could be achieved through military force, if military might could bring security, if security for one country, however powerful and out of volatile regions of the world it may be, as the United States is and was, it cannot gain its security through the insecurity of others. Now, if you want to address Iran's nuclear file, you need to change your perspective. That is, we should share two goals, not one goal being for Iran and one goal being for the 5+1 or whatever you want to call them, those countries who claim to be concerned about Iran's nuclear program, that they pursue one set of objectives and we pursue one set of objectives, and then there is a fight, who gets more of this and who gets more of that, like a childish play. This won't work in today's international environment. What works is for both sides to work for the same objectives. And these objectives are, first, Iran's nuclear program must remain exclusively peaceful. This seems to be the stated objective of the other side, of 5+1. Now, I can claim that this before them is our objective, because it is in Iran's national security interest for the entire world to know that we do not want nuclear weapons, that nuclear weapons have no place in Iran's security doctrine. And even the perception in the world that Iran pursues a nuclear weapons program is detrimental to our security. So we share the first objective. We want to redefine the problem so that we can find the solution. We share the first objective. Now we want them to share the second objective. And I tell you why. The second objective is the only way you can ensure that Iran's nuclear program will remain exclusively peaceful is to allow this program to take place in an international, in an acceptable, peaceful international environment. Why? Because Iran's nuclear capabilities, peaceful nuclear capabilities, are homegrown. We're not dependent on the outside. So they cannot deprive Iran from what is ours. We have the science. We have the technology. Mm-hmm. You cannot deprive us of our scientists. You cannot deprive us of our technological infrastructure. So this is there. You cannot wish it away. Iran's peaceful nuclear capability is there. So in order to achieve the first common objective, we need to agree on a second common objective, and that is this indigenous capability of Iran must be exercised within a transparent, internationally recognized framework, that is the enrichment plan, that are out in the open, accessible to the IAEA, could be under international monitoring, as they have been in the past several years. This is the only way you can ensure Iranian nuclear program to be an exclusively peaceful program.
I unfortunately have to jump in because we're just fresh out of time, unless you want to squeeze in. You're the newsroom director. Well, it's your floor.
one last question, Mr. Foreign Minister. Are you optimistic about the talks, nuclear talks with the P5+1?
I'm optimistic that we will go into the talks with the determination to resolve the problem. Getting to yes is our motto for these talks. But it takes two to tango. If the United States and the rest of the 5+1 group are not prepared to get seriously involved in this process, then it would be a totally different scenario. I have to stress that this government, nor any other Iranian government, is not willing, nor is it capable of conceding an iota of the rights of the Iranian people. I'm saying it's counterproductive even to ask it to do so, because that's no appropriate way of ensuring Iran's nuclear program will remain exclusively peaceful.
Thank you.
We have more time, so I'm going to try to squeeze this question in here. You're going to be meeting with Catherine Ashton on the sidelines. It's been reported of the UN General Assembly that's coming up. I'm sure you're going to reveal some of the things that you just talked about, I would imagine. But we're talking about how you say there should be a concerted effort within the P5+1, of which the United States is obviously one of the countries. But at the same time, you have a country that says all options are on the table. You have a country that talks about how they are going to respect the new administration, but at the same time, 76 lawmakers coming out and imposing more sanctions on Iran. What is going to be different about your approach regarding the United States, one of the countries of the P5+1?
Well, I think the United States can play a key role in finding a solution or preventing a solution. And that is, they have to observe the first principle of any negotiations. You know, in international law, negotiations are founded on one principle, and that is the principle of good faith. If the United States wants to conduct the negotiations in good faith, then it cannot call for a diplomatic solution and at the same time try to impose pressure not only on Iran but on the rest of the international community through arms twisting, intimidation, and extraterritorial measures in order to impose restrictions on Iranian trade, which are totally against international law, are directed against Iranian people, are aimed against Iranian people, aimed against innocent civilians, trying to prevent them from having access to a whole range of necessities, from technology to medicine, from science to foodstuff. This is a policy that will not succeed. Sanctions and intimidation will not bring the Iranian people to concede on their rights. They will only strengthen their resolve to insist on the need for respect. This is not, the Americans are totally mistaken if they believe that Iran is willing to pay the price because it wants a weapon. Iran is willing the price because it wants respect. We are not going to accept anybody trying to take that respect away from us. That is the bottom line.
So an example of a win-win situation, you've said that, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani has also said that, win-win. What scenario would that entail?
Win-win would be an Iranian nuclear program which is transparent, under international monitoring, within the framework of international legality, that is the IAEA safeguards mechanisms, the NPT regulations to which Iran is a member, and which is based on cooperation. The best way for the international community, we shouldn't say international community because it's only a few countries with a loud voice and a great deal of means of public pressure. But if those countries want to make sure that Iran's program will remain peaceful, that's the way to deal with it. Not through intimidation and pressure, because that won't lead them anywhere. And that's a win-win situation. Iran will have its rights, sanctions will be removed, and the rest of the international community can rest assured that Iran's nuclear program is exclusively peaceful and will remain so, because it is in our interest that that program should remain peaceful. It should be in their interest that that program should run transparently, out in the open, in a facility under the supervision of the IAEA.
We hope so. Unfortunately, again, I'd like to thank you. We squeezed in a few more minutes at the allotted time, but thank you very much for giving us this time for this interview. As Hamid Reza Amari, newsroom director, also, I'm sure, thanks you for that. We do appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
And we do ask you not to be a stranger. Obviously, we're going to be pursuing you, and we wish you lots of luck in all the different endeavors and challenges that faces you.
It was a pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much. That brings us to an end for this very special edition of Face-to-Face program with newsroom director Hamid Reza Amari and I, Kaveh Taghwai, interviewing Iran's new foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif. You can see the text on this on our website, otherwsprestv.ir, under programs face-to-face. Until another edition, it's goodbye.